With us today is Larry Kudlow to tell us what the heck is going on in America in the economy. It looks like we killed the bill, thanks to you. You were the proponent of that. But Jamie Dimon, I understand, was on CNBC today or another station, and he made some revelations. Tell us what's going on.
Well, look at, I don't know what Jamie said, but the big story right now breaking is the likelihood that Russia will invade Ukraine. And at least they're going to send troops and equipment into the Donbas area. And, John, you saw one of the tip-offs here is a big rally in oil, West Texas, and maybe more importantly, Brent, European crude, is up to $86 a barrel. That happened really fast. That has everything to do with market expectations of an invasion. We've been dilly-dallying here. The White House opposed Ted Cruz's amendment, which would have restored sanctions on Nord Stream 2. They opposed it, so they used the filibuster to defeat it. How ironic is that? We've done nothing. We haven't laid down sanctions on banking. We haven't laid down sanctions on the Nord Stream 2. We haven't laid down sanctions on trade with Russia. And there, look, the White House has changed its tune. Now they're saying an invasion is between middle January and middle February. We're already in middle January. Today's January 14th. And I don't know. They are weak. I don't know if they can handle this crisis again after what the bungling was done in Afghanistan. This is a very difficult moment. We're not going to send troops. I don't want to send American troops in. I want us to take stern actions on the economic front because Russia has a very weak economy, and we have got to regroup. We've got to show strength. You know, Ronald Reagan always argued strength at home equals strength abroad. Donald Trump always argued we have to be strong abroad and beef up our military. We should be selling the Ukraine all kinds of anti-tank, anti-aircraft and so forth. We're not doing it. That is the big story, John. And oil prices, if there is an invasion, oil prices will go way, way much higher. But they jumped, you know, $85, $86 a barrel right now. So that is a key moment.
Well, $85, $86, that if there is an invasion, I hope there isn't, I think you'll see $100, $110 oil.
Yeah, you could be right. I don't have any disagreements with that. Look, on the home front, this was a very bad week for Biden. He continues to lose everything. His presidency continues to unravel. He lost on the filibuster. He lost on the election takeover. He lost on the Supreme Court vaccine mandate. The big government socialist bill is, in fact, dead. His entire agenda is dead. He's lost on COVID. He's in very, very bad shape. And the amazing thing to me, John, you know, if you're running a business and you're losing money everywhere and your deals are going south, you're going to bring in some new people. You're going to fire some people and hire some people. And in the midst of this disaster called the Biden presidency, he's not making any changes at all. I am astonished by that. He's just letting it go. It makes you wonder whether he himself even realizes how bad the situation is. And this past week, you had a liberal poll, Quinnipiac, showed his approval at 33%. His approval rating is now below the outside temperature in Washington, D.C.
Is he, Larry, I hate to say it this way about a president of the United States. Is he aware of his surroundings?
I just don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. Because look at, you know, Trump, that's Donald Trump. Like him, don't like him, but his policies were very good. He had successful policies. But look, if things went wrong, Trump would knock heads. He would make replacements, okay? He made quite a few of them until he got the people he wanted who implemented his policy goals. Biden is not doing that. This is the most remarkable thing to me. So Biden is in the car, the motorcade, going up to Capitol Hill from the White House to address the Senate Democratic conference on the eve of this vote for the filibuster and the election takeover, which I completely oppose, completely, but whatever. So while he's driving up there, Kyrsten Sinema, the senator from Arizona, who has opposed his so-called Build Back Better bill, she's on the floor of the Senate giving her unambiguous opposition to changing the legislative filibuster, which means no election takeover. And then a few minutes later, again, before Biden even got to speak to the Democratic senators, Joe Manchin issued a statement following Sinema's speech. So he every time he goes up to the Hill to persuade his party, he loses. And that shows you his weakness, all right? You know, Machiavelli always said it is better to be feared than loved, okay? Well, Biden is neither feared nor loved, and that's a very bad position for him to be in.
Now, it's very sad. You know, Biden is not losing. You know who's losing? The American people. Mm-hmm. The American people are getting poorer every day. Every time a barrel of oil goes up a dollar a barrel, the American poor get poorer. The American poor middle class get poorer. And we're just giving the money away to Putin while he's busy using our money to declare war on Ukraine. It's our money. We're paying him $86 a barrel.
Yeah, well, you know, you make your bed, you have to sleep in it. So he made his attack on fossil fuels, on Keystone, on ANWR, on public lands drilling. And so guess what? We're not drilling. We're still 2 million barrels below the peak in oil drilling that was in late 2019, early 2020. So, yeah, the world market is the price on the world market has gone up. It slipped a little bit with Omicron, and now it's coming back again because of what's going on, at least potentially, in the Ukraine. All these policies are bad. But I will say this. Look, ever the optimist I am, I'm very pleased. First of all, John Thune, who's a good senator in the Republican leadership, has decided to run for reelection. And Ron Johnson, a superb conservative senator, has decided to run for reelection. And my point here is the cavalry is on the way. The handwriting is on the wall. This is a failed presidency, and they're going to be replaced. The public is going to express its disapproval through the midterm elections. That's what our great democracy does. So I do believe help is on the way. I believe the cavalry is coming. But in the meantime, at least some of these bad policies are being stopped. Okay, $5 trillion in spending, another $2 trillion in higher taxes. That stuff is losing. An election takeover. That stuff is losing. Government regulatory overreach. That stuff is losing. So at least he's being denied. I'll grant, you know, that's probably the best part of it. But for Mr. Biden, he needs to clean house in the White House. But your question is an important question. Is he aware of his surroundings? Is he aware of how much his presidency has declined in just 1 year? I can't answer that. But I'll tell you this, they are going to have to clean house. If they don't, and they continue down this left-wing, radical left-wing path, then they will sink lower and lower in the polls. They will become more and more unpopular. I mean, his speech in Atlanta was a disgrace.
Yes.
If you disagree with him about some of these election issues, all of a sudden you're a racist. You're Jefferson Davis or you're George Wallace. I mean, that was an insult. African-American Republican Senator Tim Scott really blasted him for that. It's a disgrace, some of the things that Biden is doing.
Well, Larry, it not only was a disgrace, but it was not a politically feasible decision when the two people that you need to vote to stop the filibuster are sitting there and you're basically accusing them of what you're accusing the Republicans. But I want to ask you this real quickly. To John's point, if we were thinking about saving the country right now, suppose President Biden took a few weeks off so we could go in there and do it. What were the changes you would make immediately?
The first thing I would do is get rid of Janet Yellen at the Treasury and put in Larry Summers. because from the very beginning, Summers has called the inflation story correctly. He is opposing government spending and entitlement spending. He's a heavyweight. I know him quite well. I've known him for 40 years. He was a junior kid on the Council of Economic Advisors when I worked for Reagan. You got to make some replacements in your National Security Advisor and your Secretary of State. You need a new chief of staff. He's got to clean house. He's got to say to the public, you elected me as a moderate. I've been governing as a radical leftist. I'm going to go back to being a moderate. That's what Bill Clinton did 25 years ago. The trouble is Joe Biden is no Bill Clinton, and the people around Biden are even worse. But he has got to show the public that the bait and switch is over. You know, the bait was vote for me, I'm a moderate. The switch was I'm governing like a radical leftist. He's got to get back to the center where they can do business with the Republican Party in a 50-50 Senate.
Larry Kudlow, you're one smart guy, and I agree with you 100%. We're in deep doo-doo, and something has to happen soon. And I am scared the way Jay Powell is talking, too, sometimes. He went out and said but they may tell the banks that the banks should attack the fossil fuel industry. I mean, which is crazy. Yep. That's not the job of a Fed chair, you know?
You know, this stuff, if you go back and read the great book, Nobel Prize winning Friedrich Hayek, the name of the book was written in the late 40s, The Road to Serfdom. It just means that government administrators and government regulators want to run the country, not the free enterprise system, not men and women in large and small businesses, okay? Not freedom and democracy, but a bunch of D.C. swamp regulators running the country. And that has got to stop. And you look at the polls, and it's very unpopular. So we'll see.
Larry Kudlow, happy Russian New Year. God bless you, and God bless everything you do, and we'll catch up again soon.